Hi, I'm Alan Carrington again, and tonight I'm with a buddy who I've never actually met face to face, Brett Salakis. I welcome, and you're in Sydney, New South Wales, are you not?
I sure am, Alan, and I think there's about a half a country separating you and I. And,
yep.
And like you said there, we've never actually met, but it's great to have a connection online and via Skype and via Twitter.
Yeah,
and,
that's right.
In contact with you as often as I've been able to be able to do.
Thanks. I tell you, just for all my American readers and listeners, etc., that we're equivalent between about Dallas and Los Angeles, guys. This is a big country. So Brett is in Eastwood, in New South Wales. He's a school teacher at St. Kevin's Catholic Primary School. And why I'm talking to Brett tonight is because he and a team of teachers there last year ran a action research project, which is really, really exciting. Brett, when you told me about this, I almost couldn't believe it. You are the first occasion in the whole world, and I'm talking about 139,000 downloads, that has ever reported back to me that they're using the pedagogy wheel for students, with students, that the students are using the wheel. So I had to sit you down and I had to have you tell me what you did.
Yeah, well, look, Alan, I'm a big believer in giving students voice and giving students control over their learning. I remember one of the first times I came across a quote from good old Maria Montessori, who said, I know I'm having success, or I may be paraphrasing here, but definition of success for a teacher is that the students are just involved in learning and just as engaged in their learning when the teacher is present and when the teacher is absent. It's irrelevant, the teacher's presence to the engagement of the activity. So to be able to tap into the pedagogy wheel as a real way of being able to create a driver, something that the children could sit in and control and really take charge of their learning, for me was something that I couldn't resist in doing. And it fit perfectly because here I am in Sydney and I work for the Sydney Catholic Education Office, and I'm a primary school teacher. And like, if you've got a lot of American followers there, I think you guys call that elementary school. So I'm an elementary school teacher, and I usually teach year 5 and 6, which is 11 and 12-year-olds. And the study that we did was based on those 11-year-old and 12-year-old students. And we were just at the time, we were into our second year of running our BYOD program. So that was our every child having a one-to-one device, and our chosen device, our BYOD, bring your own designated device, was an iPad. Now, we had some iPads in the school for a few years running up, leading up to that, and that kind of evolved into the decision. But at the time, we were one of the first schools to be trialing primary schools. Some of the high schools had sort of beaten us to the punch, so to speak. But we had been running these things, and it seemed like such a beautiful marriage between trying to do work that was really engaging, pushing the envelope a little bit, but really good pedagogically, pedigree, I suppose, is the word, and then fitting that with the iPads into your pedagogy wheel just was a marriage made in heaven.
Okay. Walk me through this. It was a science project or a science task, a science subject, was it not?
That's right. So as teachers, we had been aware of the pedagogy wheel for a little while.
Yep.
And obviously the whole SEMAR model and the theory behind that. But we decided to take that one step further. And in term 2 last year, which is obviously the second phase of our learning, so it was around about this time last year, so we're looking at, around about May in 2014, we decided to embed the pedagogy wheel in a whole process of our rolling out our science program. So we used iTunes U, and we created an iTunes U course that the students enrolled in and worked through. And in that, each week, the students would go in, and they had some tasks that they would do, and some of those tasks were theoretically based learnings, and sometimes it was a YouTube clip and all that sort of stuff, and they would take in some knowledge in a more traditional sense from an electrical sort of background, theme work. And then they would do some practical, sometimes experimenting, and they would actually build some circuits and all that.
Did the teacher set that task, or the kids decided
now,
they did?
Yeah, that part was teacher driven. We actually did set up the iTunes U course. However, each week then what happened, the child then decided how they interpreted that information and what they did with that information. So for example, when it came time to learn about batteries, we would learn about the battery, and we would find out information about the battery and use the correct terminology and all that sort of stuff. So you have to build the feel. Talking about kids who are sometimes learning these sorts of things for the first time. So they have to learn the key words. They have to learn the concept of electrons and protons and charge and all that sort of stuff. So they were giving them this background of knowledge, and then they got to decide how they applied that information. And we gave them the opportunity of developing their own e-portfolio, for lack of a better word. And so what they were able to do there, they were able to then look at the pedagogy wheel, pick a verb, pick one of your action verbs.
Actually, they're Bloom's action verbs.
Bloom's
action. Let's give good old Bloom the credit.
We'll give Mr. Bloom a nod.
Yeah, nod, yep.
And so we pick out one of the action verbs, link that to some of the suggested activities. Now, it didn't necessarily have to be one of your activities, but, in that sort of ballpark. Yeah. Then they then decided how they would interpret that. And on another level, what the students did with the e-portfolio, we kind of spoke with the children, particularly the year fives who were just using iPads for the first time, keeping in mind this was the second year of our BYOD program. So the year six students, the 12-year-olds, they were into their second year of it. And the year five students were really only had a couple of months of using this really cool tool. So they need a little bit more scaffolding. But what we did was they were able to create their own e-portfolio, and they color-coded the activities that they did in their e-portfolio based on their
activities. This was an iBook they were creating.
So they made an iBook. Yes. They made an iBook.
Yep.
So if they were doing a remember and understand activity, so we did batteries, and they may have picked the verb like summarize the information. They may have summarized the information they got. They may have written a blog about that, and they may have used one of the tools. Then what they would do on their iBook, on their portfolio of their learning, they would have a green page. They would have that title. They would have the task that they have chosen. And then they would actually paste in either a hyperlink to the sample of work that they created, or a screenshot, or whatever it might be, because different activities.
Did you at any point in time say to somebody or talk to them in general about having too many of one color?
We didn't necessarily mandate too many like that. However, we nourish them and sort of push them towards the higher order. And what we did was, we're a little bit sneaky, even though we were giving them the choice, and it was based on the work that we were doing in the iTunes U course. As we moved through the course, the tasks themselves, the content itself, moved from being simple fact-based sort of stuff to more higher-order thinking possibilities and all that sort of stuff. So some of the content we kind of, without the students realizing, kind of managed them over to the higher-order thinking.
Yes.
We did ask that the children had at least one of all the samples. So that way...
Did that work?
Challenging. Yeah, it did. It did. And to be honest with you, at the beginning, they were more comfortable in the remembering and understanding and they're applying the knowledge. And that makes sense too, because they're coming up against new content. This is new information for them. So you have to read about that. You have to learn about that. You have to remember that. You have to get your head around it and understand it.
Well, you've got to also understand, Brett, that the majority of students in higher education are more comfortable in the remembering and understanding. And you know what the really sad part is? Most of the teachers live there. And it's really, we won't go down that path, but I can understand, particularly in your students, that the challenge of moving through or up or around to create and the higher order stuff. Amazing, amazing stuff. Now, 116 students...
Yes.
Okay, and a team of, I don't know, four or five teachers. Now, you surveyed them. They did this stuff. And they come out the end, and you survey. Now, tell me about the survey. We're up to about 11 minutes. We're going to wrap it up at about 20 at the max, maybe like 15 to 18 minutes, and then we'll do another one at some other time, probably, you know, next week or something. But tell me about the survey. What did they say about this?
Right. So we were lucky enough to be given an e-learning grant from our system, the Catholic Education Office here in Sydney, and that enabled us to have a little bit of time out of class to reflect upon what we had done. So we had done obviously a little bit of research, and I think even as we were first starting to apply the pedagogy. That's the first when I first reached out to you and you know tried to get my head around about how the pedagogy wheel worked, and obviously applying it to primary schools, something that was really initially set up for tertiary education, in itself was not a hurdle, but something new and something that we probably had to manage. But that adaptation was surprisingly simple. But what we did was we specified what did we want to look at, and of course, how do you measure what we want to look at? So we looked at things like engagement, things like did children actually feel like they learnt better using these methodologies than what they had done in the previous years of their education. So we really wanted to know. Did the students themselves feel like they were better learners? Were the results better? Were they able to output their work? And were they more engaged? So what we did was we devised a series of questions, and I know you're going to upload the report.
Yeah.
And people can have a look and that. And some of the statistics there are quite mind-boggling, because really overwhelmingly, the students loved being in control of their own learning and actually being able to use the tool to access things that they had never really been able to access in a traditional classroom setting beforehand. And it was that real freedom, that ability to move and learn and change and push the envelope and do things that they hadn't been able to do before, that was the real buzz. And you know what? There was a buzz in the class. The kids looked forward to it. They begged if they could do it at home. They asked if they could do work. And it created a real blurring of even the school day. Like the school bell rang at three-ish, like it probably does in every school and most schools around the world. But it didn't end there. They were taking their iPads home. They were working on it. Copying emails,
a practical question. Did they have a copy of the pedagogy wheel poster on their iPads, or how did they?
Yeah, they, Yeah, they all had access to that. And on a functional sense, look, we are talking about 11 and 12-year-old students.
Yeah,
so some of them had an easier time at adapting to the pedagogy wheel than others. Some of them were able to pick it up really, really quickly and go, right, I'm good, I get this, I can control my own destiny. And some of the others needed a little bit of help and a little bit of guidance. You can't expect everyone to be able to operate in a free environment.
Absolutely.
Some people need the scaffolding and need the support. So
Now you're talking about a positive result. Let's look at this paragraph in the project report, the research mm-hmm. report, that says graph one shows that 82.38% of the students thought that the pedagogy wheel through an iTunes U course helped them to learn better in comparison than previous science and technology units. Okay, you say there the results inform that every 8 in 10 students thought that not only was the pedagogy wheel combined with an iTunes course an effective way to learn, but it enabled them to surpass the amount that they learnt previously.
Spot on. And you know what? I think that's almost
good
in
grief.
Line with the new curriculum of the, you know, we see in the new Australian curriculum this whole shift towards taking science. I mean, if we're looking at science, taking science and linking it with, you know, technology, and we've got the whole new technology syllabus about to sort of come into play in Australia. But do you know what? It's statistics like that that show that what we're doing is in the right direction, because if that many children feel like they are more engaged and more efficient and more effective learners, then we're doing something right.
Yeah, yeah. Look, I'm going to wrap this up, Brett, because I don't want to go too long. I'd rather do more than one, as I'm sure you're happy to do too, more than one podcast episode on this. I've been talking to Brett Salakis, and we've been talking about an action research project, which the report will be put up onto the blog entry. What can I say? This is an opportunity that I never dreamt was going to happen, and we need to put it out there and tweet about it and talk about it, and then let other people pick it up and push it further. We're moving from that we think this thing works to we know it works, and for a teacher and for thought leaders leading people like you and I, Brett, and I include you in this, that can't get any better than that, to move from the thinking or feeling of something's right to proving it. So thank you for that report, thank you for the podcast tonight, and let's do this again.
Let's do it soon too. Thank you very much, Alan.
Right.